Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Yuma daf Samach Ches. Yuma daf Samach Ches. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Zayin of a base. Towards the bottom of Samach Zayin of a base, we continue with the Seder Avodah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Bolei eats the par v'sar hanisrafim. The Kohen Gadol then went back to the par and the sar hanisrafim. So the par and the sar, we're calling it now the ones that are burnt. It's the par, same par and the sar that we used before, that the dam was applied towards the Arin, towards the Pareches in the Hechel, and then on the Mizbeach HaPanimi, both in the corners, and on top, we have those applications with the dam of the par and the sar. So, says the Mishnah, we go back to the par and sar, Hanisrafim. The truth is, the par and sar were broken into three components. You have the dam that we just mentioned, you have the emurim, the fats, the chalavim that are going to go on the Mizbeach. And then we have what this Mishnah is referring to really is the Mishnah is going to talk about both, but the par and the sar and the serafim that they get burnt, that you take the rest of the basar and you burn it outside by the Beis Hadesh, and you burn it outside of the Mikdash totally, like the same spot where you burn all the other parim hanisrafim. So that's the Mishnah. The Kohen Gadol would then go to the par and the sar and the serafim, karen by sinas emurim. You tear them open and remove the emurim component, namely the chalavim, nasim. What we do them? Nasav magis v'ktiru al gamizbech. He put them in a bowl and be makter them on the mizbech. He put the emurim into a bowl from the par and the sar, and he makter on the mizbech. 2 points in this. First of all, he wasn't being makter immediately. The Gemara is going to point it out that there was a whole slew of avodas that had to take place. He had to do more avodas. Right now he's in Big Day 11. He had to do more avodas in Big Day 11, switch to Big Day Zav to other Avodas, switch back to Big Day 11 for some other, yet other Avodas, switch back to Big Day Zav. Of course, each switching comes with a mikvah, and when he switched back to Big Day Zav the second time, that's when he did that's when he's makter the emurim. It just means he placed the chalavim in a bowl to be prepared for the akhtara, for the akhtara of this emurim. But not that he did it right away at this juncture. Number one. Number two, we're saying that he put the chalavim of the par and the sar together. The chalavim of the par and the sar were put together. And the question is, the Gemara Menachas, I think it's Daf Beites, the Gemara tells us that you're not supposed to mix the krivayim, the chalavim, of multiple kabanas when you makter the mezbech. You're supposed to makter each one separately. And then over here, you're putting it together. So the Mikdash Davim wants to explain, and the next line of the Mishnah is going to be meduik this way, like as you said, that we know that we said that you took the Kohen Gadol took the dam of par and the damasar separately, and was zayriket towards the Aron, towards the Hegel. But then when it got to Mizbeach HaPanimi, we had a machlekes, whether it was before the application to the corners, or whether it was by the application on top of the Mizbeach HaPanimi. But kula amalei pligi, that for the last application on top of the Mizbeach HaPanimi, the dam was mixed together, the dam of the par and the damasar was mixed together. It says Mikdash Shavit, at that point, it becomes like one carbon. And therefore, when you put together the chalavim in the same kli, it wouldn't be a steer to that Gemara, it wouldn't be against that Gemara Menachas, because over here it's like one carbon, and therefore you could put together the chalavim of the par and the sar. Even if not, I mean, if that was the seder avodas hayom, then of course that trumps general column. But the point is, Mikdash Davim would say, even within the concept of general column, we could say we view this as one carbon, as we see in the next line of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah further, column and makleis. He then took the meat and the limbs of the par and the sar, and he braided it onto like a stick, ve'etziim lebeis reifa, and he took out the beis reifa, which again, why is he braiding the two animals into a stick? It looks like a two-headed animal. Same idea, because we're merging it like one carbon, that would fit very well with the Mikdash Davim's Yisayin. Says the Mishnah further, and then he brought it, let's see, the base of Sreifa, he took him out of the base of Sreifa, the place where it was burnt. At what point is the person who's carrying out this par and sar, the base dish to be burnt, at what point is it metame his begadim, does it become tame? Meaning, really, when is he considered to be fulfilling, to be nasa mitzvasa with avayda? Meshiyetsu chutz l'chem is azara. Tarakama says, when you leave outside the wall of the azara, that's when there already is tumas begadim. And we're going to see the whole first amud is going to be focused on, whole amud aleph, is going to be focused on the psukim, the drashas, the sources for where, number one, that you burn it outside three machnas, and number two, when the tumah takes place, when the person when the one who's bringing the par nisrafim to be burnt, when it's begun to become tamei. So Tanakhama says it's right when he leaves the chaimis azara. Rav Shimon Amar, no, mishiyatza har beruban. As soon as the fire catches hold of most of the limbs, that's when the person evolves. He becomes tamei begadim, till that point, there's no tefas begadim. We'll see in the Gemara that's a the machlekes isn't just whether it's right away when you leave the azara or when it's being burnt. But the nafkmina is where you're burning it. You're burning it outside of three camps. There's going to be machlekes whether you burnt. You went to the north, went to the east outside Yerushalayim, but you're certainly outside the three machnas. Again, the three machnas are, of course, the machnas Shechina, the machnas Levi, and machnas Yisrael. So in the times of the Mikdash, the machnas Shechina was the Azara, the machnas Levi was the whole Har Habayis, and the machnas Yisrael was the Yerushalayim, the old city, Yerushalayim, outside Yerushalayim. So when he gets outside Yerushalayim, and it was being burned there, according to Bishamin, only then does it become Tame, whereas according to Tanakama, the second he left the Chemes Azar, which is essentially Machna Shechina, already then was he Tame. Zakti Gemara. Viktirin Sakadaitach. He's telling me in the Mishnah that he put the Emurim, the Chalavim of both the Par and the Sar, into a Kli, and he was mocked to them. But this is way premature, like you pointed out before, and I'll go through the details of exactly what he has to do. There's a whole bunch of avodah the Kohen Gadol has to do before getting to the stage of burning these emurim. He has to read from the Torah, which will come up very much in today's daf. He has to read from the parshas in the Torah. That he can still do while he's wearing bigdei lavan. He then goes to the mikveh and changes into bigdei zav to be makdir eloi ve'el ha'am. This is all Rashi. He then goes back to the mikveh again, changes back to bigdei lavan, back to white begadim, to remove the ladle, to remove the kaf and the shovel, right? That was from the Keteris. That was the five of Nim. He purposely left it there the first time, which changed back into Big 11 to go. That was the Big 11, if you remember. That could be the Big 11 that his mother provided for him, right? That Avaida, which is not necessarily Avaida Bakeves. That was when they career that his mother provided for him. But he'd go back and he would take out the shovel and the spoon from the Keteris. So that was another change. And then he would change back into Big Dezav. And then be makdir, they move him. Now he's up to the murim. So all that took place in between answers. Why is the mission mashma that he put it into the bowl and be makdir right away? Answer the Gemara very simply. It doesn't mean that he was makdir right away. He put it into the bowl in order to be makdir later. He was setting it up for Haktarah for later. He wasn't makdir right now. Call him Maklais. He braided the limbs into braids of the power of the sar, Amar Beichanan Kimin Kliya, like a braid. Very questionable, what is a Beichanan adding? That's what the Mishnah says. He Kulan the Maklayas. So there is a Girsa of Pashas the Yishalmi. The Yishalmi's Girsa of our Mishnah does not have this, that Kulan the Maklayas. It just says that after he put the Chalavim into a bowl in order to knock there, he would then take the rest of the animal, the basis ready for, that's it, without saying anything about braiding. And Rabbi Yechanan came along in the Gemara and says he would braid it first. So according to our version of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yechanan does not seem to be maisiv much, but according to the Yishalmi, it would be, he's being maisiv, the idea of braiding it, because that wasn't in the Mishnah's text itself. Tana. They didn't dismember the bull and the par and the sar. They didn't cut it up like what you do to an Eila. What do you do to an Eila? By an Eila, first you hefsh it, you flay it, you get rid of the skin, you separate the skin, I should say, and then you cut up into parts. They did not do that over here with the par and the sar. Rather, while the skin was still in the basar, ella, or al gabi basar, while the skin was still in the basar, they cut it into pieces. But not me, they didn't know this, the time you looked at the Rebbe Yemir, Nemar Kanan, it says over here, or basar parish, from here, really for the next, the majority of the whole next Gemara is going to be drashas of psukim. It says, or basar parish. It says over here in our sugya, by the par and the sar of Yom Kippur, it says the word ur, that's the skin, the basar, was the force of the flesh, and perish is the waste and the stomach. Malal and ur basar perish, just like, nemar kan, venemar lalon ur basar perish. And it says over here, and it says over there, we are by a par of a kohen gadol, kohen mashuach, when he has to bring, when he did an avera, and he has to bring a par, it says there too, a lashon of ur basar perish, top of samach ches but aleph, malahalon, nituach v'ide hefshet, just like by the power of the kohen gadol, by the kohen mashuach, it requires nituach without hefshet, you're cutting into pieces without being mafshet, afkan, so tobeos, ide nituach v'ide hefshet, so tobeos, it's nituach is cutting into pieces, he's dismembering it without actually flaying it, prior to flaying it. In fact, Gemara knew, v'hasamadon hanin over there, that you're doing the cutting into pieces without flaying it. The Tanya, the kibra pishav yitzi, the pasuk says, it is the time of the Brisa. The pasuk says v'kirbe ufrishay v'itziyay. The pasuk says this again talking about the power of the kohen gadol. It says that the pasuk talks about having the power with its meat, with the head and its feet, and that together with the kirbe is the insides ufrishay and the waist v'itziyay, and you should take out the whole thing intact outside the machna. Malamish and Mitzvah Shalom, that teaches us that you take it out while it's still whole. Yachus Fenah Shalom, so I would think you actually burn the entire part of the Kohen Gadol while it's whole. Namakam Reshev Pitvik Rav, It says over here, Reisha Kriyam, and it says over there, by a regular Eila, it says Reisha Kriyam, Malalon, just like by an Eila, I didn't do it. We know Eila for sure is cut into pieces. Avkan, so too, we learn out from the Xer Shav of Reisha Kriyam, we learn out that Reisha Kriyam over here as well means by the power that it's cut into pieces. I didn't do it. Ask the Gemara 1 second, but if you're learning from Eila to power of Kan Gadol that you cut into pieces, learn out also that you flay it, that you take off the skin, that you do Hefshit. E malalan I have shit by the Eila, you do have shit. So Afkan by the power, you also should do have shit. Afkan I have shit. Tamalem have a kirby pirishites. Here's the main point. It says the pasuk of kirby pirishai by the power of the Kayim Meshuach, by the Kayim Gadol. It says the kirby pirishai. Kirby means again the innards and the parish. And we know the Gemara is going to explain in a second that the parish is only together with innards. If it wouldn't be the innards, it would just fall away. It wouldn't be able to be, it wouldn't be encompassed. You need the parish, the waist, to be held together by the innards. So to we say, the Mara says inside, my Tamuda, what's the drasha from Kirba Pershay? Amra Papa, Kishem Shep Pershay, Bekirbay, Aspasari Bayray. We're darshing that it's a comparison. Just like the parish, the waist, by definition, the remaining inside of the innards of the animal, so too, the buster, we're talking about the buster, is inside of the ur. The buster is inside the ur of the animal. So we have a guess. We have a comparison of the power of the Kohen Mashiach to Eila. But we also have a diak to say there's a chiluk. The comparison is, it's compared to Eila to say that you cut into pieces. You don't burn a hole. Well, first, I skipped a step in this brisa. First of all, the brisa darshan is very clearly that you take it out whole. You definitely take it out whole. You would think you burn it in the base deshan while it's still whole. Kamash we learn from Eila, then no, you cut it to pieces. You would think that you mafshid it, you take off the skin before you cut it to pieces. No, we learn from parish the kirbay, just like the parish remains in the kirbay. It remains there, so too the bus remains in the hide. And once I know now that the power of the Kohen Gadol remains in the hide, when you cut it to pieces, so too the power of Yom Kippur and the serve Yom Kippur, we're saying it remains in the skin. You don't do hefshit before cutting it into pieces. Okay, Zakti Mar further. When do you say that the people carrying the power, the serve, to be burnt, that they've begun to become something? At what point is it considered really like a gather of Nas Mitzvah and they become tummy? Obviously, even according to the Kam that says it's, they become tummy right when they leave the Azara, was not saying that, and was calling it Nas Mitzvah, was not saying that there's no mitzvah to finish burning it, just means it's already enough to convey tumma at that stage. Rabbi Shimon says, no, only when it's Mishus Azar, when the fire catches the rave of the animal itself. Tan Rabban, we're going to look for the psukim to back up the source for these dinim. This is Machlekes.
Just one question.
Sure.
Why is it always the problem? Because say the person becomes tummy, maybe we talked about it yesterday, I don't remember. What's this lashon?
What do you mean? I mean, you find the concept often that certain things, certain avodas, that when the avodas are complete or the outcome of the people involved is specifically by the parah. Do we find it? I mean, it's parsha, right? That's part of the marti echum aveda, right? But really, that concept of being Isaac in different to Rabbi Shmuel and becoming tummy, we find in multiple places, not just by parah. So by parah. So what are you asking?
Why God say the person's tummy?
Oh, what's the notion of, that too, I'm not really answering you, I'm just deflecting that you find, it's the same lashon is found in many places. The idea, it's not just over here, it's not just the we don't say the person, we say it's metame, it's a level of tumma that's metame begadim, right? Remember, don't forget, kalim, Adam and kalim can only become tummy from an avatumma, right? Adam, the person, and as kalim. So if the begadim is becoming tummy from him, really, right, they shouldn't be able to become tummy because if he's becoming tummy in a normal fashion, which would be from avatumma, that means the begadim, which are kalim on him, should only be a level lower. He's a rishon, and they can't become tummy. So this, the gusha is it's metame even the begadim. That's the basic gusha. But again, that's the typical. That is the typical lashon. It's not unique to our Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanur Banim, Yetsi Amachus Amachna V'Sarfei. The pasuk tells us that the power of the and the sir of Yom Kippur, he brings it, it's brought outside the camp, and he burns it. Now, regarding the Kohen Gadol's power, this is actually talking about the Par Kohen Mashiach, or the Par Helm Davar Shel Tzibur, right? The Parak HaMashiach, Mother Seer, where there's mistaken psak, mistaken lachas, either Kagadol himself personally, that's the Parak HaMashiach, or Param Devash Seber's, where there's a mistaken psak for Sanhedrin, for, and a bulk of Klai Yisrael did that Avera, so they bring a Param Devash Seber, there's also Param and Asrafim, and over there it says take it out of three machnas. So by Arab Sigib, by Param Kippur, all it says is Yetzi Milchitz La Machaneh, the Seraphim. Over there it says take it out of the Shosh Machnas, three machnas. Vekanatanais La Machnas. And over here you only, regarding Kippur, but only discusses taking out the Param and the Sar out of one camp to be burnt, not requiring it to be taken out of Yerushalayim. Again, only had, we pointed that before, I think we read the Mishnah, you take only out of the one camp would be Machna Shechina, but you don't have to take it all the way out of Machna Leviyah and Machna Yisrael, namely out of Yerushalayim, says the Gemara. So if that's the case, so why is it Mechatz Machna? To teach you, so really, I skipped a step. What the Gemara is really saying is, we're learning out over here by power of Yom Kippur and the Sar of Yom Kippur that you do have to take it out of all three machnas, just like you do by the Parak HaMashiach and by the power of Davish HaTzibur. If that's the case, what's the lashon yachid that mechutz l'machna that you take it out of one camp? You don't take it out of one camp. You take it out of three camps. The answer is there's a separate din. You know what that din is? That there's tumma. The tumma's begadim takes place already once it's out of one camp. Even though it's not burnt, it's out of three camps. But the tumma takes place, like the Tanakhama for Mishnah, once it's out of one camp. That's the hadgasha of Michutz Lamachna. The Hasam and all, in fact, come up one second. How do you know that over there by the power of the Kohen Gadol, the power of Kohen Mashiach, the power of the receiver, how do we know over there that it has to be taken out of three camps, Mamish? Itanya Vaitsias Kala Power, Chutz Shosh Machnas. We looked at the Baisa, Pasuk says take out the power, which means outside three Machnas, Atem Chutz Shosh Machnas. Does it really mean outside three Machnas, Ayin Ela Chutz Machnas? Or perhaps it means outside only one machna, like we're saying, but the simple taish by us as well. Answers the price over there. Kishu aimer bepar eda. It says by the par eda. That's the classic par davish tiber. Par helam davish tiber. El mechutz lamachna. Shein tamal lemer. It says by el mechutz lamachna. Take it out el mechutz lamachna, which is superfluous. It's extra why. Shereik for nemer v'saraf esay. Kasher saraf as parishan. It says over there you should burn it like you burnt the parishan. Now the parishan, right, which is already the Kohen Mashiach's power, which we already discussed, we know that was burnt outside of the Machna. So by saying, burn it like you burnt the Parishan, and adding the words outside the Machna, I'm already outside how many Machnas now? I'm outside the second Machna, I'm outside two Machnas. Because everybody knew it was outside the Machna, and you still said the words outside the Machna, which means you added now, you're up to two Machnas. To say you go out of the second Machna as well, meaning go out of not just Machna Shechina, also out of Machna Leviyah. Okay, but you still could be in Machna Yisrael. By the Deshen itself, by the removal of the Deshen ashes, where it says, take him a chutz machna, shein tamal emer. That also is extra. Shereik for Nemer, like it already says, el shefach ha-deshen. It already discussed, again, by the par, Kohen HaMashiach, already discusses that he takes it outside the machna to the shefach ha-deshen, which already demonstrates to me the shefach ha-deshen, which I actually speak about shortly in this daf, what the shefach ha-deshen was. But the shefach ha-deshen, the place where he poured ashes, was already outside the machna. That was clear. So if you're telling me that you take the ashes to the place of Shefach HaDeshen, I already know that's outside the Machna. Saying the word outside the Machna again is extra, and therefore, what does that give me? Tein Machna Shlishis. That gives me a third. It's a drasha to tell me that you take out three Machnas. And we're putting together all these cases that the Shefach, the Trumas, not the Trumas Deshen, this is the removal of the Deshen and the power Helm Davish HaZibar and the Parak HaMashiach, they all were putting together all the psukim to say they each need to be brought out of three machnas. And once they know they need to be three machnas, I'll learn to the power of and serve him Kippur that it also needs to be brought out of three machnas. And when it says L'chus L'machna singular, by Asugi, what does it mean? The tumma of the begadim takes place even after it comes out of one machna, but it ultimately has to be burnt outside of the three machnas. That is all. Very much this price of this drasha, which we just elaborated, fits very well, like the Tanakhama Mishnah. Rav Shimon held that when does the tumma take place? Only when it's being burned, Mishnah says Rav Rubai, which is outside three machnas. So according to Rav Shimon, we still haven't really adequately explained what's this mechutz l'machna, singular mechutz l'machna, by the power and the sar of Yom Kippur. Says Gemara, Rav Shimon, hi mechutz l'machna, my avalei. What's Rav Shimon going to do with this mechutz l'machna? Mebayle chetanya needs for the following price. Rav Blaz Aimer, nemakam mechutz l'machna, nemalam mechutz l'machna. Says over here by the Yom Kippur power of sar, says mechutz l'machna, and says by the power Duma mechutz l'machna, ma kan mechutz l'shosh machnas. Just like Yom Kippur, the parvasar is outside three machnas. Afalon, so it's teaching you over there by paraduma also chutz l'shosh machnas. Umal halon b'mizrach l'sheish alayim. So now we get into a new component. We haven't focused on this yet. So far, we focused on we take it number one meaning outside how many machnas, which we're saying everyone agrees outside three machnas by the power of the zarev Yom Kippur outside three machnas, and we have machlekes when exactly the tumas begadim takes place. But that's it. Now we're adding a new element. Just like by the paraduma, which we're comparing to the power in Sarvim Kippur. By paraduma, where does it go? Mizrach HaShosh Lion is being done by the Harzesim area facing the east of Yishlayim, and he did it to Zerik Tadam towards the Heichel, towards Azara. Afkam and Mizrach Yishlayim, Mizrach Yishlayim, so too the Yom Kippur Parvasar also was done in the Mizrach of Yishlayim. That is the Sheet of Reb Shimon. For Rabbanan, who didn't make this whole last Russia, because they already used Chutz Lamach, tell me that Tumah takes place coming out of the first Machna, so they didn't have that extra Russia to compare to Paraduma. So according to them, where do you burn it? Heichas Arflu says Gemara, because the time we learned a brisa, a different shita. Heichas Rav and Tafam Beis. Let's find a Yishlayim. Where was it burnt? It was burnt to the north of Yishlayim, the Chutz Shosh Machlis. It was burnt to the north of Yishlayim, outside three Machlis. That we're saying is still in agreement. Everyone agrees to that. But it's to the north of Yishlayim. Rabbeis Yemer, a Beis Teshen Nesrafin. Rabbeis says no, it was burnt at the Beis Teshen, the place where the Beis Teshen was. That's where it was burnt. Again, like the same idea of we had before, really, of Shefa Chadeshen. This discussion, does that mean Rabbeis is saying a third Shita? Is he saying a third Shita? Or is he really agreeing to the Tanakhama? He's agreeing to the Tanakhama that it's the east, it's the place of Shefa Chadeshen, and it's to the east, like the Tanakhama, just the Tanakhama hadn't said the word Shefa Chadeshen, and he's adding in that's by the Shefa Chadeshen, but he's agreeing it's not to the north, rather it's to the east. Amar Rava. Mantan the Pelagel Rabbi Yossi, who's the Tana argues on Rabbi Yossi, who says that you don't have to burn it by the Shefa Chadeshen area. You're burning it apparently elsewhere. Safain, who's the Tana that argues? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezmi Yaakovi, it's Rabbi Yaakovi, Tanya, it says in the Braisa, El Shefa Chadeshen Yisarf, you should burn it by the Shefa Chadeshen, Shehei L'Shem Deshen. That means that it has to be, you're not burning the first thing being burnt is not this carbon. It has to be there already was a pile there of ashes that were put there, L'Shem Deshen, and that's where you burn it on that spot. That's the Tanakam Mashita. But Lezmi Yaakov Emer, no. Shehei Mekayim Meshupach. Shefach HaDeshen doesn't mean the place where there's ashes. It means Shefach HaLashen Meshupach. It should be like sloped. It should be an area that's sloped, but it could be the first thing you're burning is this power and sar. That could be that's the first thing that you're burning. It just means it's in a place that is sloped. So we're saying the author is Rabbi Lezmi Yaakov, who's seemingly not makbid that it should be burnt on the Shefach HaDeshen. He could be the author that says you burn in the north, and we're not makbid that it should be by the spot of the ashes. Abaye says not so fast. All you see in that Bryce says Rabbi Lezmi Yaakov holds it needs to be sloped, and Tanakhama didn't seem to have that drasha. But maybe Lezmi Yaakov agrees it needs to be in the makam of the deshen. Where do you see that he argues and says that it only needs to be sloped and it does need to be makam deshen? The simple answer is that Rav's taina was because he darshened the word shefach deshen to mean sloped, so he loses the element of having to be in the makam of the ashes. But Abaye says why not? Maybe you can have both. Maybe also both, and you still have no tana who says that you burn it not in the makam of the ashes. So Abaya deflects. I shouldn't say no tana. We know we have a tana, but you can't tell me that the tana is Rav Lezmi Yaakov. You have no proof that he is the tana. Tana Ban. Vaseirif. The pasuk says Vaseirif. Haseirif betam begadim flei matzar. We learn from the lashon of Vaseirif that the one who seirif the power in the seirif kippur do his begadim become tame, not the one who lights the fire. There is a discussion in the mefarshim. Kshmak Ishaila in the mefarshim. When the person lights the fire, what if these pyre and sar were already there? And he lit the fire. Meaning, it's understandable that the Bryce is telling me the one who lights the fire prior to the pyre and sar being put on the fire, he's not tummy. Dafka the one who was serif the pyre and sar, not the one who lights the fire to be serif the pyre and sar. But what if the pyre and sar were already in its spot and that someone lit a fire underneath it? Is that also called the serif? That's what we use in Pashtus? Or someone to say no? Someone the first one to say, and no, that lighting the fire is not called the serif. Rather, who's the serif? The Bryce is going to say very clearly in a minute. The one who he watches it, he stays on top of it, and he makes sure that it stays in the fire as it's burning. Says the Gemara. That's a machlokes in the Mefarshim when it says that not the one lights the fire. How far are we taking that exclusion? But again, Hasarif, the one who burns the pyre of Asar, he's Matam Begadim. Hasarif, Matam Begadim, Vlei Matzar, not the one who lights the fire, Vlei Matzar, Smaracha, not the one who sets up the pyre before it, yeah, that's for sure before it was even ignited. Ve'ezah Asarif, who is the Sarif of the pyre? And sir, Zemesayeh, who's called the Seirif, that becomes Tameh, Zemesayeh B'shah Sreifa, that's the one who's actually helping at the time of the Sreif itself. Yachal Afashinasu Efer, you would think that even after it becomes ashes, if someone gets involved, at that point, it's also going to be Tameh, Metam Begadim, Tameh Lemer, Isam Metam Begadim, Lemer Shinasu Efer Metam Begadim. Isam tells me that Dafka, the Parvasar Metam Begadim, not once it's already became Efer. Once it's Efer, it's no longer Metam Begadim. Whoever is engaged at that point does not become Tameh. Rabbi Lezmer Shimon makes a very similar Joshua. When it's still the same power, that's when it gives up tumah. Once it the basar becomes like nitach, means like decomposed. Once it becomes decomposed, there's no longer gives a tumma. Now it sounds like Rav Hashem is not adding anything. It sounds like he's saying just like Tanakama. Aisa metamim, this is Tanakama's Russia, and Rav Hashem's Russia is the Paris metamim. Either way, once it's ash, once it's burnt, it's not metamim. So my binayim is the more, what's the chiluk between the Tanakama and Rav Hashem? It could be now the Shavi Charucha, where it's charred, but it's not yet mamish ashes. According to the Tanakama, when we say Aisam, was an exclusion isam. The lemish isam means both the part of the sar. The lemish nasu efer. Only when it's ashes are you excluded, but when it's charred, there still would be whoever's involved will still have tumas begadim. Whereas, according to Buzzer Shimon, he's adding and saying, no, even a step before that, only when it's still called a par does it give off tumma. Once it's lost shame par, it's charred enough that it's not called a par. Even if it's not mamish broken down into ashes, it would no longer give off tumma. Whoever's involved will not become tummy. Okay, says the Mishnah. They said to the Kohen Gadol, Higiyas al Midbar, they would tell the Kohen Gadol, the Sire has reached the Midbar. And how do they know? Remember, we spoke out of the prior Mishnah, how far away was it? 9 mil, 10 mil, 11 mil, 12 mil, says the Mishnah, which is the numbers I'm going to see not to jive, says the Mishnah, how do they know that the Sire got to the Midbar? They set up watchmen, and they wave flags, Midbar. Kind of like what they did by the Kiddush HaChodesh, right? They would stand, right? They wave flags over there. Over there was torches on the mountaintops, but they wave flags in order to get the message that the Tsar reached the Midbar. That's the Tanakama's explanation. Amar B'Huda V'lei Simen Gadol HaLeilam Nech. They had a very simple simen. Mishlayim Ad Beis Chududai Shleisha Milin. From Mishlayim till the place where the Tsar was sent off was 3 mil. This is the part that I was referring to just before. That's at odds what we just had in the prior Mishnah, and the Brisa of the Gemara elaborated 12 mil, 10 mil, 9 mil, whatever it was, but it's certainly not 3 mil. So the first one explained what it means is that the entrance to the Midbar, it was 3 mil from the base of Midrash to get to the Midbar area. Yes, he went further in the Midbar, another 6, 7, 8, 9 mil. But we're referring to at what point he got to the Midbar, already at that point, it would be considered Nasim Mitzvasai, so, or enough to tell the Kohen Gadol they've reached the Midbar. You reached the Midbar, right? 3 mil. That's enough to say you reached the Midbar. So how do they know 3 mil? Still, how do you know by 3 mil? Says Rabbi Yehuda, very simple. Halisim gadol hilahem, Mishlayim bad beis chedudai shleisha milin. From Mishlayim until the beis chedudai is 3 mil. Holchim mil, they would actually accompany the person walking with the Sar 1 mil. The Chayzer mil, then they'd come back. So that's already 2 mil. They went 1 mil, and they came back. That's the second mil. Vishayin k'day mil, and they would wait the time of the third mil. So the obvious question is, if you're waiting the third mil, just wait all three. Like, right? If you're waiting the third mil, you walked 1 mil, you want to tell me in order to be able to be Mashiach the time he walked with him. Okay, so walk a mil and a half. And then walk back a mil and a half. You're walking 1 mil, walking back a second mil, and then you wait for the third mil with this episode. So the first point out, beautiful, that he didn't just stop wait. The base of English was 500 amas by 500 amas. If you do a perimeter all the way around, 500, the perimeter is four times 500 is 2,000 amas. 2,000 amas, of course, we know we spoke about yesterday. That's Chum Shabbos. 2,000 amas is a mil. So he wasn't shy. He didn't just wait in this place. He walked a mil, came back a mil, and when he came back, he walked around the base of Middash. Beautiful chab. Again, the question still is, we find very often that you just wait a certain amount of time, even without watches, without the atomic clocks. They used to be able to mishayer time, right? Why is he walking b'chlal? Answers, I believe it's the Rishash, says a nice chab, that yes, to be Mishayer, how long it takes a normal person to walk a certain amount of distance is not so difficult. On Yom Kippur, where the fellows walking out with the Sar is fasting, over there, we need a different metrics because they're not people that are fasting don't necessarily walk at the same pace, and therefore we don't want to rely on the general measurements of how long it would take a person to walk a mil. He wanted to kind of pair it up with his own action. So he walked a mil, came back a mil, and according to 27 the first time, walked around the Mikdash another mil, so he's able to do the same 3 mil. Okay. Says the Mishnah further, V'yayidin shegir saw the Midbar. At that point, you knew the Tsar got to the Midbar. So again, option number one was waving flags. That's how you know got to the Midbar. Option number two is walking the same distance, or similar distance. They had a more of a magical, I don't know if magic is the right word, but they had a more of a magical simon. Why? There was a strip of red wool that was tied on the Pesach of the Heichel. And when the Tsar reached the Midbar, if your chateichim were red like crimson, it'll turn white like snow. The point is that when that turned from red to white, that was a sign that that they reached the midbar. Yes, there were times when it didn't turn from red to white. That's why they stopped doing it, because it was leading people to be either they're being too smechim, we just said the other day, or they're being too, more importantly, they're being too atzavim, they're too sad. But okay, but there originally was this lashon, and that was the siman to know that the kayin got the kayin ha mishnech has a parah. It doesn't have to be a kayin, but whoever was mishnech the parah was already in the midbar. Amar Abaye.
Doesn't the Gemara say before that they didn't tie it all on the...
The Gemara says they stopped doing it. The Gemara says historically they used to, then they stopped because that's what I was referring to.
No, because they wanted to see. They wanted them to look as it fell down the mountain.
Yeah.
Which seems to indicate that it only turned once they pushed him off, not when he got to the midbar.
Why? I'm not sure how do you make that jump. They wanted them to focus.
Question, why didn't you tie it all?
No, but maybe this one turned earlier, and they wouldn't even bother looking at that one. Still, the taina is still the same taina. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Bayim, Shema Mina Beis Kedudei, but Midbar Kaima. This is right that the Beis Kedudei is in the Midbar, right? That's the beginning of the Midbar. Hakamashma the Kasav Reb Yuda, Kivin Shigia Sar the Midbar Nasavet Svaset. The point we begin of here is Reb Yuda holds that once it reaches the Midbar, that's already called Nase Mitzvah. So just reaching the Midbar alone is called Nase Mitzvah. We've pointed out many times, it came just a couple of days ago in the Daf, where we discussed that the Rashi brings up from the Mar and Daf Mem, that the Vidui itself could be is Bechal, not Makiv. Pushing off the mountain, the Mar seems to say, seems to indicate clearly is not Makiv, although Rabbi Yaakov holds the death of the Sar Lazazel is what's Makiv. So therefore, death alone is enough. Whether it's off the mountain or not, death is enough. But if you go like Rashi's Mahalach, death, Vidui are Makiv, seems like that Grol is Makiv. Here we're saying, again, I'm not arguing Rashi with Rabbi Yehuda, that was just Rashi thinking about earlier. Here we're bringing for the Tanah Rabbi Yehuda, that's Nasa Mitzvasa at least, the second he reached the Midbar, it's already Nasa Mitzvasa. Hadrach Sheis Iri, Mazel Tov, onto the Perek. Actually, before we get to the Perek, just one quick question. So, the Tzvei Shunim is bothered that our Mishnah seems to be saying that they tied a Lashon on the Pesach of the Heichel, but we spoke out a couple days ago that they tied the Lashon specifically on the rack and on the horns, and it's mashma that the Lashon was only tied when he got closer to the cliff. Really along the lines of what Liam was asking, but Teshon is bothered that, I take it back, he's not bothered, he just points out that the outcome of that Gemara is at odds with our Gemara, which is fine, it could be a machlekes in Gemara's, that doesn't bother us. That's Teshon's statement, more than a question, it's a statement to really to the effect of what Rabbi Da'aria was just mentioning. However, the question is, Rashi Ber points out beautifully, Rambam brings both dinim. Rambam brings that idea that you only tie it later, that you tie it later by the rock and by the horns of the sar, that's when it's tied, and that's the idea of the lashon shel zugris. And Rambam also brings about tying it over here by the heichel. So Rabbi Shaver, in classic brisk style, wants to answer. There was two different components. One was a component that was just to indicate to us that there was a kapara, and there's a kapara for Klal Yisrael. That's the one that's done by the mountain cliff. And then there was the idea that the Kohen Gadol had to be muster, he had to give over as part of that vayu. You pointed out a couple of days ago when we said, even if the guy's tummy, ish iti, that was definitely the day before, he comes into Azara for the Kohen Gadol to give it to him. And we just pointed out that the part of the idea is that the Kohen Gadol, part of his Avaida, we said it for Rashi already a couple of days ago, that the Avaida, part of his, the Seder Yom of the Avaida, the Kohen Gadol, was to be muster this Sar Mishaleach to this person that was taking it out. So, this too was part of the Kohen Gadol's Avodah. This is the Kohen Gadol's Avodah, and then there's the general idea to know when we got a kapara. It's two separate components, and that's the two things that we're bringing. They're not steering to each other. It was two separate ideas over here. Both could exist. As I said, Rav Yeshua Bresnitz tells us, the new parak. Balei Kohen Gadol Likris. Kohen Gadol comes to the Ezra's Nashim to read the parashas of Achremas, parashas of Torah, Imratz Likras of Yom Kippur, Imratz Likras Bifi Dei Butz. If he wants to continue reading while still in this Bikei Lavan, he can. They love, but if he does not want to, if he doesn't wish to, Kur Bislas Lavan Mishlei. He reads it while dressed in his own white robe. The first point that Mibri says, already back then, we wear today our kittels, already back then, it was an haga to wear white on Yom Kippur. Chazak Nestas Neitel Sefer Torah Mishlei. This is actually Machlekes Rashi Rambam. It's interesting because it's going to be black white Gemara. The first Gemara coming up is going to discuss this notion, but I think it's more of like maybe the Maisa, whether or not this Kriya, is this Kriya part of that Vlid of the Yom Kippur of the Kohen Gadol, or is it just it's not part of the Vaida, it's part of the Seder HaYayim, but it's not called part of the Vaida, right? That's a good discussion, and maybe that's what depends on whether or not he's wearing It has to wear begadim. Lamaisa Gemara is being bedayik very clearly. The fact that he doesn't have to wear the begadim shows it's not mamish part of the avodah. It's the exact wording of the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to be bringing chiddush the other way. He doesn't have to do it in the big day kuna, which means it's not avodah. Yet we're allowing to if he chooses to. The chiddush that he's allowing to wear the begadim even when he doesn't have to. Okay, we'll see that shortly. It says the Mishnah further. What would happen?
Where would he be at that moment? Where is that happening?
Ezra's nashim. Says the Mishnah further, Chazan HaKnesses, Neitla Sefer Torah, the Chazan HaKnesses like the Shamish, he would take the Sefer Torah, Neitla Reish HaKnesses, he'd give it to the head of the Knesses, the Gabbai, for Reish HaKnesses, the President, for Reish HaKnesses, Neitla Skan, the Reish HaKnesses would give it, this is by the Sefer Torah that was in the base Knesses right near the base of Middash. They would take from that Sefer Torah, that was by the premises, right near the Azara, they'd take from that Sefer Torah, they'd give it to the Shamish, to the Gabbai, to the Skan Kohen Gadol, Faskan is the Kohen Gadol, Skan is the Kohen Gadol. The first discuss that it's not so pashut that you're not supposed to pass. You know, we do kvat by a baby. I think we touched in the not so distant past. We discussed about the idea of giving to many kvatas because it's like a reiv am. We discussed balancing the reiv am with the first of all the safety of the baby and the delaying the mitzvah, but the safety of the baby. We discussed that there's the idea of incorporating more people as a reiv am. But when it comes to Sefer Torah, there is a concept of not passing for too many people because like each one's passing it off. You don't have people passing off a Sefer Torah. It's not a covet. Over here in our mission, we see clearly they're passing one to the other. So the first one explained that it's not shver because adrabba. We're saying really that lower to higher. The Shamish, not chashuv enough to be the one to read the Sefer Torah. Give it to the Gabbai. Gabbai, not chashuv enough. Give it to the Skan, not chashuv enough. Give it to the Kohen Gadol because we're building up very specific people and their madrigas. Of where they stand in Klal Yisrael, he's not saying who's more holy, but where they stand in Klal Yisrael, we're building up the Gadol. That is a covet for the Sefer Torah, saying no, he's not holy enough. He's not holy enough. That wouldn't be a stira to cover the Sefer Torah. Okay, so that was the seder. They passed it to the finally to the Gadol. The Gadol, Amen, Makapa Gadol, Amen. He stands up. He's Makapa Sefer Torah. V'kayra Achrimais v'Ach Baser. He reads from Achrimais and Ach the parsha of Ach Baser. V'Gadol Sefer Torah Meich Meich Bekei. He then rolls the Sefer Torah, puts it by his chest, and he says, more than what I've read in front of you is written here. The discussion of why he says this, because the next line the Mishnah is going to say he reads Behar. So he says, more than what I read inside is written here. Don't think that what I'm going to say in a moment isn't also in the Sefer Torah itself. Uvaser, then he would read from Veser, Shepchush, Bekudim, Kerel Peh. For the parsha of Be'eser in parsha Sefer Bemidbar, that he'd read by heart. I'm going to explain why he'd read it by heart. What happens to the issue of so, for whatever reason why he's reading about Peh, what happened to that din? So, either someone would say it's Enachami, it's not Mamish, absolute chiv, it's a lechatchil, it's not Mamish Ma'akiv. Others want to say that when it's part of the Seder, it's considered part of the Seder of the Nusach HaTfilah. Rabbi Kivager compares it to, to Shema, when he's Amish Shema. Shema's Pesukim in the Torah. Shema's Pesukim in the Torah. Yeah, we're not makbet to say it, not by heart. Why? Because once it becomes Seder Tefillah, then that's okay. This is part of the Seder Musaf. We actually, in Musaf, we say Seder Kabbanas. We're not so makbet not to say it by heart in Shema Nazareth. We're not makbet you have to say Seder Musaf from Seder because it's part of Seder Tefillah, and therefore it's not an issue of being saying it by heart. Tomorrow we'll explain the Maisa of why he does say it by heart. Bechlal says the Mishnah further. Makes seven brachas at the end of the laning as follows: Ala Teira, Ala Veda, Ala Hida, Ala Mechilus Avain, Ala Mikdash Pnei. He references the Mikdash by itself. Yisro Pnei references Klai Yisro by itself. Yishlaim Pnei references Yishlaim separately. Ala Kanan Pnei Atzman, Ala Shar Tefillah, and for the rest of the Tefillah. Hareya Kain Gadol, Kishukar. One sees the Kain Gadol when he's reading for the Teira. Ain Hareya. Power of Asayr, Hadas Rav. And whoever is able to see the Kohen Gadol when he's reading from the Sefer Torah, he will physically be able to see the power and Asayr and Asrafim, which are being done outside three machanas at the very same time. And vice versa, Varaya, Power of Asayr, Hadas Rav, and Aroya, Kohen Gadol, Kshukaira, Philim Nation, and Rasha, not because he's not allowed to, El Shay, Sederk, Chayka, they're far from each other. They're taking place, the procedures at the same time, yet they're far from each other, so it wouldn't be impossible to see one and see the other. You'd have to pick or choose which one you want to watch. Says Gemara, we read one short Gemara, Migdatani, Bitzlis, Love. It says in the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to read from his white robe. He can read from the Torah wearing his white robe. Mechal, the Kriya of Avaida. That seems to indicate that the Kriya is not Avaida, because if it's an Avaida, right, Avaida needs Big Tekuna. Yet Uktani, so it's not Avaida. Okay. Uktani imrats lukres Big Tekuna's Kira. But yet you said, if he wants to read Big Tekuna's, he's allowed to. Shmami no Big Tekuna, not his Pam. Let this be a Raya that Big Tekuna, do not have Mila. Big Tekuna is, one is allowed to, one is allowed to. We spoke in the past, the idea would be the Torah wasn't given over to Malach Hasharis, the Torah wasn't given over to angels, and it's impossible for them to wear it only during the Vayin, the second afterwards, always remove it, and therefore, this would be a right to that said that there's no Mi'ila on the Beit Tikkuna, the Mar deflects and says, Dilma Shani Kriya the Tzarech Havayda. No, maybe Kriya is different because the Kriya of Yom Kippur is Tzarech Havayda, even if it's not Mamish Havayda, and therefore it does not need Beit Tikkuna. It's Tzarech Havayda, and therefore it's okay to wear Beit Tikkuna kind of this in between. It wouldn't be considered misusing, misusing maybe is a strong word, but it would be considered using it out of Havayda, because it's at least Tzarech Havayda. But it doesn't mean that your Mamish need it, and therefore you can raise Omegan as well. The Gemara is going to go off now to the Shaila about whether or not the Bailan. Well, I'll just read the Shaila and we'll stop. We've had a Shaila in the past. Beit Tikkuna, could you have enough or not? We wanted to use our Mishnah as a Raya to that Shaila. That yes, Kohanim could have enough Beit Tikkuna. We deflected the Raya. The Gemara is going to bring further Raya to that discussion. It's not just a Gemara, but let's pause it late. We'll pause over here. We'll pick up the end of that discussion. Matzah Shabbos, Mitzvah. Have a wonderful Shabbos.